got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, July 9th, 2021. Mike Rowe is right. We never see protests at trade schools. Why is that? And Dr. Jonathan Haidt is right. The modern world makes us mentally ill, but that's not by accident, is it? So, it's an interesting social engineering experiment that is being conducted by the cybernetic totalists, as Jaron Lanier would call them. So the telehealth thing has been going on for a while, and now we have this situation that, you know, conveniently ushers in the age of telehealth. And not only that, but again, you know, this what DARPA is envisioning, you know, where we can all be hardwired to the Internet of Things, things stuck in you that you cannot remove. And that's creepy. You have all kinds of evidence that's been mounting from guys like Scott Klosowski saying that back in 2016, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables to the work that DARPA has been doing for decades. And the things that Ray Kurzweil has been saying for decades, and the work that organizations like Profusa more recently are doing, you know, all of the work that Whitney Webb has talked about that sort of coincides with this creepy agenda from, you know, through particularly the post 9/11 era. It seems like it's exactly what Jaron Lanier talked about, the two sides of the same coin with singularity and the rapture, where we're not really working to serve people, but we seem to be kind of hastening certain coming events. We're basically getting conscripted to that wheel, all of us, which reminds me of the Union Jack stuff that I read yesterday. Anyway, without further ado to the phones, Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. The chair is still by the door, and the poison is in the jab. Repeat, the poison is in the jab.
Nice.
There you go. Well, I guess I might as well do the telehealth thing a little bit. You know, when you were talking about that, I remember the military pioneered robotic surgeries a long time ago. So that was kind of telehealth. They had some, you know, the idea was that the surgeon could be, you know, safely back in behind mm-hmm. the lines or in some city halfway around the world and perform a surgery at a field hospital.
Right.
You know, with robots and that sort of thing. So they weren't talking to the patient, but they were, you know, operating on the patient.
Yeah, and now, if I could, a parenthetical interjection, basically, you know, because you are the person who mentions when we talk about some of these things, Alan Watts, you know, the good reason and the real reason. We're always given the good reason, and guys like Ray Kurzweil are notorious for, you know, when it comes to cochlear implants or, you know, things like that. No, there is a good reason. There's a good reason. That's fine, but that's never the one that sticks. And as these things push forward, the truth and the reality of their impetus becomes more evident always. And you can see Also, the evidence of what Angus Bergen said, you know, these plans fomented under the specious guise of the good reason, when it was never the good reason that folks, you know, the Ray Kurzweils of the world had in mind.
Right. Right. And when you were saying that, it reminded me of an experience I had walking one time back up onto campus from an arcade downtown. And I remember walking up thinking, mulling this stuff over about the video games in the arcade. And I said, gee, I wonder if this stuff could be used to, like, you know, train people for military, you know, service or weapon systems or something like that. And you know, lo and behold, you know, here we are today. We've been through the era of the PC and the internet, and the Army even marketed it, had its own little advertising video game. You know, it's had its own little, its own special, you know, first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking that about first-person shooters. It's like, oh, yeah, it's fun and educational. It teaches you how to kill.
We've been propagandized on that for a long time. You know, shall we play a game? Matthew Broderick,
right.
War Games. It's cool. It's sexy. It's in vogue.
Right, so. Exactly. That's a part of it. And then the telehealth thing, I haven't had to avail myself of it. I know some people who have. You know, it seems useful for a follow-up consult where there's really nothing going on.
Right.
Or nothing to see here. That's fine. Or, a lot of times people know it's like, oh, I need such and such antibiotic, you know. And since they're just going to write a prescription anyway,
right?
You know,
instead of you know WebMD, which is anonymous and not specific to the patient, you know, something where basically, you know, three clicks, you're always like three clicks away from I have cancer and it's, you know, stage 4 cancer inoperable. You can actually communicate with someone who has a more personal knowledge of you, and that makes sense. I agree what you said, but that again is one of those good reasons that never quite matches up with the actual initiative to implement this stuff, at least not from what I've seen.
Right. Actually, I wanted to bounce back, if you don't mind, me jumping back to something you did early in the program. You were talking about the grizzly bear attack.
Mm-hmm.
And this is under the heading of amusing things that allude, like parodies that allude to highly improbable circumstances, but that when the real circumstances occur, it's heart-rending and problematic.
Absolutely. And, well said.
Referring to about the grizzly bear thing is that there is presently a Geico commercial where these people say, oh, yeah, we love our new, you know, roller home. It's so nice and peaceful. It's quiet here. Of course, it is bear country. You know, the family's getting ready for a picnic.
Yeah.
And in walks Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
Right. And they're
terrified. You know, they ravage the picnic table and run off with a blueberry cobbler. And the lady comes down and says, they're gone, Dad. And later, here's this old man climbed up a tree to get away from the bear, which is never a good idea. But, I mean, now, and the cruel irony here is every time the people who knew and care about this woman who was mauled to death see this Geico commercial, they're going to be traumatized. And I knew of a similar incident years ago. There's a holiday song that says, Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You know, and it's all about how Santa, you know, killed this little lady walking home. My brother had an acquaintance from school whose senile grandmother got out of the house on Christmas Eve and was killed in traffic.
Wow.
And so it's like every time they hear that song, it reminds them of this horrific demise of the grandmother.
Yeah.
And it's just, and the person making the song or making the commercial is, you know, certainly was meant no harm. You know, certainly didn't. But you're alluding to something that is so statistically improbable that you can just sort of allow it to be funny, ha 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 ha, and then lo and behold, you know, life imitates art, and now you've got this sad circumstance on your hand.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the article that I mentioned, a first installment, I believe, by, you know, the AP article by Amy Beth Hansen and Matthew Brown, Grizzly Attacks Kills Camper, it includes this quote: "I think we'll be okay going north," Jim Drake of Las Cruces, New Mexico, told Missoulian newspaper. Drake was just 4 or 5 days short of completing his seven-week trip. And so it's interesting, just as an aside, the article is written in such a way it makes it sound like a man was killed, Grizzly Attacks Kills Camper. And then the follow-up, the next day, the headline reads, "Bear Pulled Woman Out of Her Tent." And so if you just read the headlines, you think, oh my goodness, there was another attack.
And right.
You have to read through the stories, both of them really, to understand it was the same incident. So anyway, back to the July 7 article. It reads, Drake was just 4 or 5 days short of completing his seven-week trip. And you wonder, so was it this man who was attacked? Anyway, it's very, I would say, sort of, you know, the obfuscation is not by accident. Maybe that's reading too far in. Anyway, just 4 or 5 days short of completing a seven-day trip, and it reads, "We carry, you know, quote, we carry bear spray and keep our food in a bear-proof bag. Bears are always a threat, but as long as we take precautions, we're not too worried. I think we're more likely to be hit by a car than attacked by a bear," he said. So these are people who have no knowledge.
There's your statistical element. Yeah.
Right, right. And they're in a place, you know, this incident happened in Ovando outside Helena, which is, you know, a town of about 75 or 100 people. And, you know, the people, basically, you know, you hear the townsfolk interviewed and you kind of get the, well, I told you so. I ain't surprised these folks coming, you know, kind of feels like that. I think it sort of speaks to your point. You know, these people have no idea, no concept of the reality
of that happening. Yeah. And it's funny that, and I'm hearing this from you today, like after, for some reason in conversation, it came up. I ended up talking to somebody about my own trip to Yellowstone National Park in 1990. And I remember, like, we went to Glacier, and we went to, you know, we did the Northern Tier, we went to Glacier, went to Yellowstone, went to Rushmore, did all that stuff. And I remember at night camping and being in one of those very flimsy, you know, umbrella tents at Yellowstone, and we had been watching these mule deer a couple hundred yards away in a field grazing during the evening or whatever, you know, they were hanging out, and, you know, and you know, there you have the bear boxes and everything. You put your food in the big steel box, you know, with a spring-loaded door and everything, and never take food in your tent and all. And I remember being asleep, you know, being awakened around 1 in the morning. There was this stream where we were, you know, relatively close to the stream that separated the field where we had been watching these mule deer and black-tailed deer. And I remember hearing, tush, tush, tush. And these were the footfalls of the mule deer fording the stream up into our campsite area. And and I'm looking out the door, and it's like, yeah, they're there. But they weren't really bugging anybody. But it was a bit unnerving to know that they were there. They're coming across the water and into the camp. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm glad they're not bears. You know, but I typically don't get that close to animals of that size, you know, on a regular basis. So it was a classic Yellowstone experience. But anyway, so, all right, well, I guess that's all I had.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the telehealth thing is definitely going to be ongoing, and it's just they're going to expand it. And prepare for all the squawk about the Delta strain coming at the end of August, early September. Yeah,
no, doing that'll just be a coincidence.
Well, they're talking about bringing up monoclonal antibody therapy too, yeah. which they had started using and then stopped. And then I guess they have to pull it out because it's going to be so apparent that the vaccine doesn't do squat. So they're going to need something effective to treat somebody. So, all right, Chris, thank you. I'm gonna head out.
Thanks, Glenn. Much appreciated, as always. So, yeah, I think let's go back to the phones real quick and grab White Rose in Colorado. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for being there for us. I don't know if you were talking about this earlier or anything, but early this morning I was watching RT, and they had this Canadian psychopathic doctor on saying that they come up with this new quote-unquote device which can detect how long you have left to live. Have you heard about that one?
I don't know. I think so. If I understand.
First I've seen of it was on RT this morning, early this morning. I've been, you know, going back and forth around here and there. And the first I've seen of it, this wacko, psychopathic-looking crazy person is telling people they got a new device that they can test people to see how much time they have left to live. Doesn't that fit right in with the nanobots?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that is, kind of a neuro-linguistic programming type thing. You know, we can tell you, and or you know, the power of hypnosis kind of thing.
Well,
how much is that? How much do we avail ourselves to that?
People get tested with this thing, and they tell them how much time they have left to live. I mean, they got nothing to look forward to. There's no hope.
Yeah.
You're going to take away all their hope.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that's pretty much all I have to say. Thanks for taking my call, and have a good day in life.
Thank you. Much appreciated. You as well. And, interesting stuff. So, before I, this is a random... an abrupt segue back. It was Frank DeMartini, right? Wasn't it Frank DeMartini? The architect who was interviewed. Like I said, cool name. Just was not... Anyway, so... Conveniently, DeMartini, the guy who was interviewed and said, the way the structures are designed, flying a plane into them, or if a plane crashed into them, it would be like sticking a pencil in your screen door. Would do nothing. Would not destroy the screen door. Just be a pencil stuck in it. You could fly any number of planes into the Twin Towers. And conveniently, DeMartini was one of the guys who... didn't get the Silverstein memo, apparently. So, he went into work on September 11, 2001, and didn't get the Silverstein memo. Wasn't stuck in traffic, all that kind of stuff. So... Interesting. I guess a companion, there are lots of discussions on this. Peter Dale Scott has a good article, Systematic Destabilization as a Strategy of Tension, quote unquote. 9/11, the JFK assassination, and the Oklahoma City bombing, if you're interested. And unfamiliar, that's, I don't know. Vincenzo Vinciguerra was quoted, right? He always, the Gladio Strategy of Tension Initiative. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right. Speaking of Frank DeMartini, maybe we'll do that real quick. We're encouraged to never forget the trauma and the trauma-based mind control that results and the programming that results and all of that kind of stuff. We're not supposed to forget that. But we are supposed to forget the fact that World Trade Center building number 7 was not hit by a plane, collapsed into its footprint, and we were told about that by a BBC reporter well in advance of its collapse. And we're also not supposed to remember architect Frank DeMartini in the January 2001 interview saying this. If you could, go ahead, please.
Designed to have a fully loaded 707 crash into it. That was the largest plane at the time. I believe that the building probably could sustain multiple impacts of jetliners because this structure was like the mosquito net in your swimming pool. This intense grid, and the jet plane is just a pencil puncturing that screen net. It really does nothing to it.
That's, yeah. Yeah, the other one should work better. You can't hardly, that's unintelligible. January 25, 2001, shortly before, just a few short months before September 11, 2001, you know, planes flying into a building, crashing into its footprint. Yeah, I think that's it, right? Something that has never happened before. Never happened again. History. Ever. We're not supposed to remember those, you know, simple facts. We're only supposed to remember trauma, trauma-based mind control, and all of that kind of stuff. So that you stay locked into that moment and unable to break from the programming, which reminds me of the Whitney Webb discussion. Do we have the other, the 37 second deal?
The building was designed to have a fully loaded 707 crash into it. That was the largest plane at the time. I believe that the building probably could sustain multiple impacts of jetliners because this structure is like the mosquito netting on your screen door, this intense grid, and the jet plane is just a pencil puncturing that screen netting. It really does nothing to the screen netting.
There you go. So we're not supposed to remember that, are we, dear comrades? Kind of like these other, you know, Angus Bergen, the telehealth initiative that DARPA has been instrumental in for a long time. And, you know, again, the article that Gabriel sent me, growing number of governments hope to clone America's DARPA. But what if that's kind of a tail wagging the dog scenario where you know, there are no, kind of like Ned Beatty's character, Senator Charles Meacham and Shooter, there are no sides, there are no Sunnis and Shiites, no Democrats and Republicans, there are only haves and have-nots. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be
Ronnie,
reminded that peace...
He meant well, though, didn't he? We should define terms, enemy, terrorism, and so forth. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. Despite the esoteric nature of the speechwriters and the speechwriting, the stock and trade of the esoteric speechwriters. So this article, we'll do this real quick, and then maybe a brief excerpt from Whitney Webb's interview that James sent me. Inventing the Future. Maybe we'll come back to the other stuff, the Gary Koss stuff, you know, from the conversation with Pat in Texas yesterday. That definitely, you know, it all fits together. And Kurzweil and Jaron Lanier and so forth and so on. A growing number of governments hope to clone America's DARPA, inventing the future. They will not succeed unless they adopt the spirit which motivates it. The science and technology, inventing the future section. Using messenger RNA to make vaccines was an unproven idea. But if it worked, the technique would revolutionize medicine, and it's revolutionized the British, you know, with an S. Not least by providing protection against infectious diseases and biological weapons. Is that a threat? Oh, well, I mean, Bill Gates says so. There might be a terrorist from a computer screen might do something. So in 2013, America's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency gambled, sure. It awarded a small new firm called Moderna. Wait, isn't Moderna partnered with NIAID? It awarded a small new firm called Moderna $25 million to develop the idea. 8 years and more than 175 million doses later, Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine sits alongside weather satellites, GPS, drones, stealth technology, voice interfaces, and the personal computer and the internet on the list of innovations for which DARPA can claim at least partial credit. But again, I would say, as I've said in the past, this is very interesting when you start to incorporate, you know, just kind of how everyone gets pulled along in tow, brought along in tow. You know, I've mentioned for pretty much since this broadcast began how DARPA is notorious for grooming bright young minds and essentially stealing their ideas through these little science fairs and things at places like CUNY. I've talked about some of those in the past. And, you know, it does two things. It steals their ideas, kind of, you know, it's keeping a pulse on the ideas and conscripting those ideas for next to nothing. And also, you know, creating these little enamored stargazers that see these people show up and, oh my goodness, I want to be like them. You know, I want to work for, you know, the analogy I've used is the Knight Industries 2000 semi-trailer, you know, that the car drives up into and disappears. Where is DARPA? It doesn't, you know, it's kind of like the trailer in Knight Rider. So, you know, people say, I want to do that. And so they're doing a number of things in infecting people's minds with these ideas, stealing their ideas, and, you know, creating these little stargazers who don't know until it's too late. You know, and that's another thing, you know. there is the aspect of suborning, as John Brennan would say, where you think it's a great thing, you're a little stargazer, you want to change the world, and that's what kids are being told these days. Instead of just simple, hey, go to work, you know, do an honest day's work, and so forth, which reminds me of some of the things that, you know, speaking of Mike Rowe, things that Mike Rowe has said in the past, you know, you don't need to necessarily change the world. It's enough to, what was that? There was that interview with him last year, the Jordan Harbinger show, response to Welding Won't Make You Rich, episode 264. It was that kind of a thing. So, well, don't do this. You know, go change the world. Well, maybe. Ecclesiastes 3:22 seems to indicate that, you know, welding will change the world. You will be, you know, a certain kind of person that will, by your example, basically, by your humble and consistent stalwart sort of example, that will change the world. And we have far too little of that these days. I don't know about you, but my grandparents were the World War II generation, and they were rock solid. Weren't perfect people. I'm not aware of their indiscretions because they weren't publicized in communitarian fashion, where now everything is public and nothing is private, in the sense that, you know, it takes the village to make sure that we all are in line, you know, in lockstep, marching, goose-stepping in lockstep, in unison. They weren't perfect people, but they were rock solid. The whole generation, I agree with Tom Brokaw, greatest generation, at least in our tangible view or experience, rock solid. You know, despite the same old specious guys, the traditional way America gets to war, as the Patrick Claussens remind us, these people showed up. Ronnie Reagan reminds us. And, you know, even though that story has been dramatized and sensationalized, still, it's sort of, you know, illustrative of that generation, I would say. The last generation that had its feet planted firmly on the ground. Rock solid, steady, and now we're blown about by every wind of doctrine, as the Bible says, unfortunately, I would say. Mike Rowe reminds us, you know, in his response, welding won't make you rich. Maybe that's not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe, you know. So, young people want to change the world because they're infected with mind viruses. DARPA can claim at least partial credit. It is the agency that shaped the modern world, and this success has spurred imitators. In America, there are ARPAs for Homeland Security, Intelligence, and Energy, as well as, and then there's, you know, things like Ash Carter's SCO, Strategic Capabilities Office, you know, that basically is another one of those sets of reticulated jaws that come out of places like ARPA. And then there are the private ones that Regina Dugan ends up at, and people like her. But you know, the SCO is taking these technologies and reimagining them and reinventing them in fun, affordable ways, and you know, lean startup kinds of ways. So there are ARPAs for Homeland Security, Intelligence, and Energy, as well as the original defense one. President Joe Biden has asked Congress for $6.5 billion to set up a health version, which will, the president vows, end cancer as we know it. Gosh, we keep getting beaten over the head with that stick, don't we? Has it happened yet? Trust us, trust us. His administration also has plans for another to tackle climate change, of course. I'm sure Bill Gates will help create hurricanes or suspend hurricanes for that. Germany has recently established two such agencies, one civilian, the Federal Agency for Disruptive Innovation, or SPRINT-D, and another for the and another military, the Cybersecurity Innovation Agency. Wait, CIA? Japan's interpretation is called Moonshot R&D, which is another buzz term these days. In Britain, a bill for Advanced Research and Invention Agency, often referred to as UK ARPA, is making its way through Parliament. As governments across the rich world begin, after a four-decade lull, to spend more on research and development, the idea of an agency to invent the future, and in so doing generate vast industries, is alluring. The success of DARPA suggests no mere fantasy. In many countries, there is displeasure with the web of bureaucracy that entangles funding systems, and hope that the DARPA model can provide a way of getting around it. Who decides, dear comrades? But as some have discovered, and others soon will, copying DARPA requires more than just copying the name. It also needs commitment to the principles which made the original agency so successful. Principles that are often uncomfortable for politicians. Do you see where this is headed? The planners want a plan, and the planners want to execute, and they don't want your interference in their planning and execution, dear comrades, which seems to call to mind, oh yeah, that book. Maybe we'll circle back to that and just sort of conclude. We need to get back to the Whitney Webb interview, but maybe we'll just circle back to Fitta, the Hegelian dialectic that is actually the Fittian dialectic, as Bertrand Russell reminds us. So Why the Worst Get on Top, chapter 10, is instructive here, but then we skip forward, speaking of Fitta, to chapter 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism, Planners and Planning, The Great Utopia, chapter 2. It's a great utopia, the planners tell us. But it just never works out because it hasn't been done right or hasn't been tried right. Or no, that's actually how it's supposed to work. You get that sales pitch, and then everything from there, like I said, becomes the high-pressure, assumptive close tactic in communitarian, cybernetic, totalist fashion, so that we can implement this DARPA control grid, technocratic control grid that we have envisaged. And you'll sit down and shut up and it's going to happen and you'll like it. So I guess we'll come back to that and conclude today's broadcast there. Chapter 12, Hayek's Road to Serfdom. Chapter 12, titled The Socialist Roots of Nazism. Leaving the background of the planners and planning and how the worst get on top to previous broadcasts, there is this from page 184. The connection between socialism and nationalism in Germany was close from the beginning. It is significant that the most important ancestors of National Socialism, Fitta, Rodbertus, and LaSalle, are at the same time acknowledged fathers of socialism. While theoretical socialism in its Marxist form was directing the German labor movement, the authoritarian and nationalist elements receded for a time into the background, but their baring their teeth again in articles like this Economist article. So, yeah, receded into the background for a time, but not for long. From 1914 onward, there arose from the ranks of Marxist socialism one teacher after another who led not the conservatives and reactionaries, but the hardworking laborer and idealist youth into the National Socialist fold. Does that sound vaguely familiar in today's America? It was only thereafter that the tide of nationalist socialism, these people who operate on these ideals, don't understand that they are national socialists. It was only thereafter that the tide of national socialism attained major importance and rapidly grew into the Hitlerian doctrine. It was only thereafter. So what can we expect hereafter, dear comrades? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
If it
What's the point of this? Speaking of Fitta and his idea, as Bertrand Russell reminds us, that education should aim at destroying free will. Fitta, the ghost of Fitta, we're led to believe other folks like Hegel. No, it's not fair to Hegel. It's the Fitta dialectic that we are suffering from or under. So it was only thereafter that the tide of National Socialism attained major importance and rapidly grew into the Hitlerian doctrine. But these people are being infected with a mind virus. They don't understand what's happening. What's happening? Well, the war hysteria of 1914, which just because of the German defeat was never fully cured, is the beginning of the modern development which produced National Socialism. And it was largely with the assistance of old socialists that it rose during this period. Perhaps the first and in some ways the most characteristic representative of this development is the late Professor Werner Sombart, whose notorious Handler and Helden, Merchants and Heroes, appeared in 1915. Sombart had begun as a Marxian socialist and as late as 1909 could assert with pride that he had devoted the greater part of his life to fighting for the ideas of Karl Marx. But we never hear about the reform, right? So anyway, skipping ahead, in his war book, this old socialist welcomed the German war, quote-unquote, as the inevitable conflict between the commercial civilization of England and the heroic culture of Germany. But remember the specious conflict that I mentioned from the Union Jack yesterday? Same thing here, speaking of the Fitta dialectic. His contempt for the commercial views of the English people who had lost all warlike instincts is unlimited. Nothing is more contemptible in his eyes than the universal striving after the happiness of the individual. Wait a minute, what? And what he describes as the leading maxim of English morals be just that it may be well with thee and thou that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the land is to him the most infamous maxim which was ever pronounced by a commercial mind. The German idea of the state, as formulated by Fitta, LaSalle, and Rodbertus, here comes the punchline, are you ready? Is that the state is neither founded nor formed by individuals, nor an aggregate of individuals. Nor is it its purpose to serve any interest of individuals. It is a Volksgemeinschaft, a national community. The Saunders Nationalisation, as it were, my German's horrible, especially National Socialist, community of the people characterized by a strong sense of togetherness, which sounds like communitarianism, doesn't it? You're a part of the community or you're nothing. And so, to conclude, it's this Volksgemeinschaft in which the individual has no rights but only duties. Claims of the individual are always an outcome of the commercial spirit. The ideas of 1789, liberty, equality, fraternity, and characteristic commercial ideas. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.